just want to thank God once again for this opportunity. Thank our senior pastors, Pastor Steve and Pastor Unami and the pastors. And thank you, congregation, for being here today. So, yeah, as Pastor said, the message is fasting and praying. We need this in our lives. And so, yep. Can I just get that first scripture, please, David? Yeah. Let me get my glasses. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6 to 9. All right. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is this not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Amen. So, preparing for the fast that I have chosen, we need discipline, patience, and obedience. These are the three things we need. To be successful in anything, you need to prepare. And even now, as we're going to go into the fast that I have chosen, we need to prepare ourselves mentally, physically, and spiritually. You see, when we start this fast, it's not good to be downcast, you know? Oh, everybody can see. Oh, what's wrong, my brother? No, I'm fasting. We need to have at least a smile on our face and just wipe our face now and again so it's a bit shining, and then nobody will know. Because what you do in secret, our Father in heaven will reward you openly. And so right now, we have the Olympics. I don't know if you all watch the Olympics. And so they usually have the Olympics every 4 years. But I think because of COVID, it's just 2 years. But you can imagine they've had 2 years of preparation, preparing themselves physically, preparing themselves conditioning, the food they eat, so important. And then the technique. How they're going to win, because their mind is focused on one thing, is that gold medal. That's what their mind is focused on. And when we get into this fast, my brother and sister, let's not focus on ourselves. We've got to focus on the Lord. That's why we are doing this fast. We are not to show that we are able to do it. And we take an example from the book of Esther. Now, we know that King Ahasuerus was looking for a queen. So they brought the young ladies into the palace. And then these ladies had to go through 1 year of beauty training, of beautician, oils, massages, dieting, just for what? For one night. To be with the king, to leave their mark, that she wants to be the queen, the next queen. And this is how we need to prepare ourselves, knowing that this is what we're going to do for the Lord. And you see, in the book of Daniel, we have seeking the Lord. And I'll just take you back a little bit. What happened? We all know the story of, as Pastor said, King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon that came to Judah. Because of the sin they were committing through idol worship, God had warned them time and time again. Another king is going to come and take over. And he came and took them away. And then he took some of the young guys, guys that were good looking, but they were very quick to learn. So what he wanted to do with them was to train them up to be, to serve in the kingdom of Babylon. And we see we have Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they got there, the king said, right, set aside a certain provision of the food that he eats. Now, you must realize this food is different compared to what the others are getting. They're captives. And then also the wine that he drinks for these guys that are training. So they are being treated very well. And this is going to be for 3 years of training. But Daniel and his friends said straight away to the man in charge, Aspenaz, that was their steward, please, we don't want that food, that provision from the king's table and that wine, because that is going to defile us. What we want is just give us some vegetables and water. And this guy wasn't happy. He said, I'm in charge of y'all. I got to make sure y'all are looking well, strong and healthy to get this job to be used as to serve in the kingdom. But Daniel said, no, give us 10 days. Just 10 days of fruit and veg and then examine us and examine the other guys that are having the special provisions and let's see if there's a difference. And we find after 10 days that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their features, I don't know why they go to the features. Their features look better than the other guys. And then not only their features, their flesh was more healthy, just having vegetables and water. So we can't do without the luxuries, my brother and sister. The temptation that every night I have to have that piece of chocolate or whatever. You know? Fruit and veg, and they were better than the other guys that were having all the luxuries. And then at the end of 3 years, they were interviewed by the king. And the king found them 10 times more intelligent than the rest of the guys. And he said, man, how can this be? But these guys, what they're doing, they're feeding the spirit. And the flesh, they're denying the flesh. You see, with us, it's the other way around. We're giving the flesh what it wants and less of the spirit. So what happened was, I don't know if you've ever had a dream in your life, and when you woke up, the dream is gone. Can't remember a thing. What happened? Little bits and pieces of the dream. And we find that the king had a dream. And he woke up perplexed, anxious to know what's the dream. So he sent for his wise men, which are the astrologers, the magicians, and the sorcerers. But we know the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. He brings these men there and he says, look, I've had a dream and I need you to tell me the dream. And they said, now because they want to show him they learn it, see, they're in Chaldean, but they spoke to him in Aramaic to say, we've been studying. And they said, there's nobody can tell you this dream. unless you, the king, tell us what you dreamt, and then we'll interpret. But the king said, I'm paying you good money. You are the wise man. How come you can't tell me? But they keep going back and forth with the king. You have to tell us what you dreamt, then we'll interpret. But the king is getting more angry until eventually he says, no, there's only one way here. We're going to have to start destroying because you all have learned nothing. All this time, you're still in the same spot. So the word went out to start killing the wise men, which included Daniel, Shadrach, and the friends. And Daniel said, no, let me go to the king and ask for some time. And he went and he told the king, look, give us a bit of time. And the king said, okay. So he went back to his friends and he said, let's seek the Lord. So they were fasting fruit and veg. But now to seek the Lord, can you imagine? They must have said nothing at all. Let's get this answer, otherwise we're going to be destroyed. And, excuse me. He went back to his friends and they were fasting. And that night, the Lord revealed the dream to Daniel. So you are not going to be fasting in vain, my brother and sister. The Lord will reveal whatever you're asking him for. Let it be known. And we see that Daniel went to the king, and as Pastor said, you know, he told the king the dream, and then he interpreted. And the king was flat on the floor, face down. Give this man whatever he wants. But Daniel doesn't want anything. He said, I just want you to know that the God that has revealed this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we got to know this is what we're doing to worship our God, to give him all of the praise and all of the glory. Then we go to the next scripture. Forgiveness. And that's in, I'll just also just go back. It's Chronicles. But anyway, we remember the guy in the book of Jonah. So God spoke to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah decided in his heart, I don't want to go to Nineveh because these people have done some bad things to his country. He went down to the harbor, jumped on a boat, and went in the opposite direction. Disobeyed God completely. And who knows, my brother and sister, when we come out from God's protection, we open ourselves up to attack. You know, jealousy, hatred, anger, unfaithfulness. You're opening yourself. But it's not only opening yourself. You're opening your loved ones and those close to you. It all becomes vulnerable because of you. Can you believe it? And now we see Jonah's on this boat. But woe and behold, the tide is, it's a storm like never before. So he put those people in jeopardy. And we know right now the world is in a crisis, my brother and sister. We've got wars, rumors of wars. We've got catastrophes. I mean, the plane went missing, Suresh. Just went missing. And this day and age, I mean, they've got computers, they've got everything to know where's something going from A to Z. It's gone. You know, we've got uncertain weather patterns, uncertain. Nobody knows why is it so cold there, and then why is it so hot in that side of the world, opposite. All this is going on, and now we've got technology glitch. For the first time ever in the world, Pastor, computers crashed completely. I mean, we as the church have to stand in the gap, my brother and sister, and cry to the Lord about what's going on in the world right now. That's why we are here. You see, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what God wants from us. We've got relationships, broken relationships in families, family members. We've got in the workplace, even in the sports field, we as the church need to pray to build up these situations. Because God, He hears our cry, especially when we're going to be going into a fast like this. Now, this is not for everybody. Maybe somebody's on medication. You don't have to try and deny yourself from nourishment. But I mean, for those who can, we're going to undertake this 3-day fast, trusting the Lord. And the Lord hears our cry when we let go. When we let go of self. And we see what happened with Jonah. Because of his disobedience. So he said, throw me into the water. And then the whale swallowed him up. It took 3 days of Daniel having to be in that whale's belly for him to realize, nah, I've got to say sorry. I've got to surrender. He had seaweed and everything was over him. Can you imagine in the whale's belly 3 days? The smell. He's in this water halfway. It's a good thing he had air in there. But he decided to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. You see, when he no longer thought about himself, because he was more worried about himself when he said, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Those people have harmed our country. We got to let go, my brother and sister. We got to know it's not about us. It's about the Lord. Now remember, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. But we are fighting against spiritual forces of darkness, host of wickedness in heavenly places. I mean, you got no chance thinking that this is a small battle. This is a great battle. And we got to do it together as a church, because our enemy is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. So we need each other more than ever before. And when Jonah decided, now, I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord turned that whale around. 3 days. He was in the wrong direction, going to Tarshish. All of a sudden now, the whale is heading towards Nineveh. When he said, Lord, forgive me, the whale spat him out. Now, we know in those years, they got big walls. These places are fortified. And they must have seen that whale, those guards, whoever was guarding the gate and all that, seen that whale spit Jonah out. And Jonah landed on the ground, full of seaweed, full of seashells and all the different stuff hanging over him. And there's he walking into the town. And the guards just opened the gate straight away. They said, nah, this is a miracle itself. No way have we ever seen something like this. And Jonah walks into the town of Nineveh. And he only says three words. You see, they say Jonah was one of the greatest evangelists because he said, you must repent. That was the end. That's all he said, and he walked through the whole city of Nineveh, and the king declared a fast. Every man and every beast, can you believe it? The beast also had to join the fast. 3 days, no food, no drink. And maybe the Lord will forgive us for what they've done. And I just want to share a little testimony, my brother and sister. Back in South Africa, must have been in the 90s, late 90s, I'm giving away my age. My brother had a terrible stroke, and he was in another part of South Africa. We were in Durban, and that's at least 8-9 hours away. And this stroke, he's a big guy, so I think he must have been, you know, not eating healthy and all that. But anyway, the blood from the body to the brain, it had stopped the supply. So they rushed him to a place called East London. And when we heard the news, I know my brother wasn't, you know, a believer at the time and all that. He wasn't, you know, following the way. So I said to my wife, okay, we're going to go there. So my vehicle, I think, was in the service or it was getting fixed. So I hired a man to take me, my wife, and my sister. So we had a little ute. But back in South Africa, people can sit in the back. So we put the canopy on. It's a little car with a mattress and a little pillow for them so they can have a little sleep. It's 8 to 10 hours journey. And while we're going, I'm on the fast. 3 days, nothing. And the guy that's taking me, he couldn't believe it. Because every time you pull over, like after 100, 200 Ks to a service station, get something, what do you want? I said, nothing. We get to the hospital, 3 day, well, you were allowed to go into ICU. He's in a coma. We're praying. We kept going. And eventually, the last day before we left, I think my brother's wife was in the church because some guys had come in there with suits and, you know, well-dressed white guys. I said, oh, well, this must be my brother's bosses. But I heard the language they were speaking was the heavenly language, speaking, praying in tongues. And I said, look at this. I'm here, but these guys... unbelievable. So I also joined in. We went home, to cut a long story short, and I think 3 months later, my brother was transferred from East London to Durban, which is right where I live, not even a half an hour's journey away. And I went to visit him one day, and he was out of a coma. And his first thing he said to me, he's going to give his heart to the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap offering. Your fasting and praying is not in vain, my brother and sister. You are fasting. God, yes, he sees your heart. And today, my brother, they went to a church in South Africa. It's called Rhema. They are part of that church. When we went to visit them, it's 5,000 people. They took us to the front, sat in front. It's like, wow. I don't have to be in front. And that's just for the one service. Straight after that is another service, another 5,000. But God is moving mightily. You know, when one soul comes to repentance, the host of heaven rejoices. And we see that, just to close, if I can get the musicians. Jonah had gone through Nineveh, and then he sat on top of a hill, and he was very angry, saying to himself, but how could the Lord spare the people that had treated us so bad. And so he sat on the side of the road, and it was hot, but he was complaining. So that night, God caused a tree to grow to give him some shade. And the next day, he was so happy with this tree. Oh, man, I've got some nice shade, and I'm feeling so nice. But that night again, the worm came. God sent the worm to eat the tree. So that Jonah said to God, I'd rather die. Because how could you let this tree die? But God said to Jonah, you did not do anything for that tree to grow. Yet you are complaining. But because I have saved over 120,000 people, you are upset because you said that those people have attacked your nation. You see, for God, people are more important. And for us, my brother and sister, we got to take our eyes off things. Yes, it's good to have things of the world, but more importantly, people, souls. That's what we need to trust God for as a church, to know that God wants us to reach out in our workplace, amongst our families. Amen? Amen, my brother and sister. Let me just say a quick prayer. Father God, we thank you today that, Lord, we can lay our requests before you as we go into this 3 days of fasting, Lord. We're asking for your Holy Spirit anointing to strengthen us, Lord, that even as we make our requests known to you, Lord, that you alone are able to answer and supply our need according to your riches in glory. We thank you, Lord, for every blessing and every good and perfect gift that comes from above. And everybody said, amen and amen.